following takes place between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Rolling with Lance's intro. Happy Wednesday night. I'm James Rapine in for Lance McAllister. This is Sports Talk with you till 8 o'clock. So it's going to be a quick one here on 700 WLW. Excited to be here. And we can all relate to our coworkers, bringing in food and stuff like that. Well, Alex Frank is producing tonight. And text me earlier, which I love. Text me. He was like, hey, James, guess what? I'm producing tonight. It's going to be awesome. You're in for Lance. Let's go. It's going to be a great show. My man rolls in at about 5:30, which is awesome. The fact that he was here early, shows up with food, and guess who did not text me to ask if I wanted any food? Now, boo Alex. Alex Frank coming up short there. He had some awesome Penn Station, didn't even offer, so we got off on the wrong foot. I say that in tongue-in-cheek. Alex Frank is tonight's producer, but yeah, I'm hungry. So let's dive into it. I think you're hungry if you're a Bengals fan. And if you're not familiar with my work, I cover the Bengals for allbengals.com, a Sports Illustrated site. And, there's trouble, not trouble, a little bit of in-between here following the bye. Look, the Bengals have dropped two straight. And I'm going to give you my thoughts on them, but I want to hear your thoughts on the Bengals over the next 48 minutes as we try to get to week 11, try to see if this team is for real. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I'll give you my thoughts. You're going to hear from Zach Taylor in just a second, so let's dive into it. I think that this Bengals team is good, not great. I think that they are much worse on defense than they showed in the first 7 weeks of the season, and we saw that over the past couple of weeks. And ultimately, it's going to come down to number 9. What does Joe Burrow do? Is Joe Burrow great? Does Joe Burrow go out there in the second half of the season and throw 20 touchdowns like he did in the first half and 4 picks? Does he have 11 picks? If you showed me Joe Burrow's stat line for the final 8 games of the year, I could probably tell you if the Bengals make the playoffs or not. Now, I know the NFL is not that simple, but I think it is in the Bengals' case. Bad offensive line, or at least average at best, but below average in key spots like center and right guard, which we'll get to over the next 47 minutes. Elite skill players, a below average to average defense, and I know they played above average the first 7 weeks, and I bought stock, and everyone was excited. But let's be honest, does anyone really think this defense is a top 5 unit, top 10 unit, maybe top 15, maybe? Probably 15 to 20. The answer is probably in the middle. They're probably not as worse as they were in the past couple of weeks against the Jets and the Browns, but they're probably not as good as we saw the first 7 weeks. So you split the difference and you look at it, and this team is going to be, they're going to sink, or they're going to swim and cruise to the playoffs or tank with Joe Burrow. And you look at Joe Burrow, and the big topic about Joe Burrow has been what? His interceptions. He's got 11 interceptions, leads the league in interceptions at the bye week. Oh my gosh. I actually agree with Bengals coaches, agree with the staff that I've talked to on and, on the mic and off the mic, that Joe Burrow's going to be just fine. The fact of the matter is this team is going to sink or swim with Burrow. So you want him throwing the ball. And you hope he makes the right decisions, because if not, then they're going to be a 7-win team or an 8-win team. And that's the part of it that I think is going to be fun, and I'm going to open it up in just a second. I want to know what you think this team is going to be in the second half of the season. They're 5-4. The playoffs are within their reach. They play a bunch of teams that are in their way or around their, in the standings, around them in the standings, whether they're 5-4 like the Raiders on Sunday, 5-3-1 like the Steelers a week from Sunday, the Chargers very much in the thick of the AFC playoff race. So the Bengals, they can make a lot of hay over the next couple of weeks as far as the postseason is concerned. Where do you have them finishing and why? Do you think they're going to make a run? Are you buying Zach Taylor? Are you buying the defense? Do you disagree with me? Or do you think that things are going to come crashing down? Or is the answer, like it usually is, somewhere in the middle? To me, and again, if you're just joining us, this is Sports Talk. I'm James Rapine, in for Lance McAllister. You're on 700 WLW. To me, Joe Burrow is going to figure out the interceptions. I think he's going to have a big second half of the year because that should be the expectation. Why would I, what have you seen over the first half of the season that leads you to believe that he's not going to continue to improve? From week one to week five, he got better in the pocket, looked more comfortable, was pushing the ball down the field more. His downfield throws were more accurate than they were last year. He just always continues to improve. So why would I not expect that in the second half of the season? Last week, I had the opportunity to talk with Zach Taylor in an exclusive interview on the Locked On Bengals podcast, and I asked him if the Bengals were going to pull the reins back, take some responsibility off of Joe Burrow's plate, because, let's be honest, the interceptions, they continue to climb. Sports Talk 700 WLW. I'm James Rapine, in for Lance. Just with you till 8 o'clock. It's a quick one. It's a sprint. And I've been training all day for it. Not really, but sort of as we talk Bengals here on this Wednesday night. The Bengals set to take on the Raiders in Las Vegas on Sunday. And they're trying to end a two-game losing streak. They're trying to keep pace in the AFC North. They're only a game behind the Ravens. They're right there. They're in third place, a half game behind the Steelers, half game ahead of the Browns, who kicked the crap out of them a week ago last Sunday. So it's like, okay, well, where are the Bengals? Who are they? I think it's going to come down to Joe Burrow and where Joe Burrow is and how well he plays in the second half. And is there a lot of factors that go into that? The offensive line, Zach Taylor, the play calling, all of those things? Absolutely. But I said at the top, and I'll stand by this, you show me Joe Burrow's stat line for the final eight games of the year, I probably could tell you whether or not the Bengals make the playoffs for the first time since 2015. I think it is that dependent, given where the defense is and has been over the past couple of weeks, given the state of this team. And so where's your confidence level in Joe Burrow? What are you expecting from this team in the second half of the season? 513-749-7000, 1-800 The big one, pound 700 on AT&T. Again, I'm James Rapine, in for Lance McAllister. Let's start things off in Milford. Tom, you are first up on the big one. What's up, Tom?
What's going on, James? Long time no talk.
I know, man. How are you? I saw you pop up. I was like, oh, my guy Tommy. I can't wait to talk to him.
Hey, you know, every time I see Burrow, I keep thinking of Top Gun. You know, when Val Kilmer's looking at Tom Cruise and says, you know, you're dangerous.
Yes.
And that's exactly where it's at. And, you know, he's going to have big plays. He's going to have some not so big plays. But I think overall, he's dangerous. And when somebody can be dangerous, the whole team can be dangerous. He's, you know, the one thing about Burrow, his attitude, mm-hmm. his swagger is infectious. And so the only thing I hope is that, you know, Zach Taylor has good eight game of play calling, because I think that's been a problem. And I think Lou needs some help in defense. He's going to have to do some disguises. Hopefully some of these cornerbacks play, you know, that we're picking up. I think they're doing great with Trey Flowers. You're picking up guys with experience. Trey Waynes has been a problem and been an absolute financial burden, you know, and they don't have extra money. Those guys are going to have to step up. The linebackers I'm a little nervous about, but you know, everything's in front of you. You don't need other people to beat people to get in. You're controlling your own destiny, and when you've got dangerous in the huddle, anything can happen. And
yeah.
I'm not selling stock, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I totally understand that. And that's the thing, is it could be as simple as they kind of underestimated the Jets, and, you know, the defense. You know, you had the unfortunate interception. They were up 11 with 7 to go, and the defense didn't step up against Mike White. And then on the flip side, you know, the Browns could just be an awful matchup for them, and this could be a playoff team. This could be a team that's going to make a run. But I think it's going to have to be Burrow hiding some of those flaws, the defense, the offensive line, maybe play calling at times. Although I think Zach throughout the season has gotten a little better. I had a big issue with this play calling at the end of the Green Bay game, but I think it's been a little better recently.
I think it has been, but what I have a difficult is you can't rely on Chase. You've got to essentially spread it out. Where's TJ? you know, who's Mazzotta? Where's he been? And so
Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd. And so, you know, don't be thrown into double coverage. You don't need to, because guess what? Boyd is on single coverage.
Yeah.
This team has enough weapons. If you start spread it around, guess what? Chase will get open even more. But you can't get one-dimensional in your throwing game. And I think if Evans gets back in the backfield, I think that's going to help him. That gives him a little bit better, a pass guy out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
But that offensive line has got to give him some time, because you can't make good throws when you're under attack. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And that's the thing, is you look at this offensive line, and I don't know if the interior is going to get better, Tom. I just don't. Like, I Quentin Spain's been fine. I think the tackles have been fine. But Trey Hopkins, I think he's a great dude. I think he's in a really tough spot right now to come back from that ACL in January and play all 9 games so far. He's going to start Sunday against the Raiders. It's just tough to do. It's tough to be your old self. And obviously, it's been a revolving door at right guard. So it's a lot's up in the air. But my friend, it was good to hear your voice. Hopefully, I'll be back in this chair soon, and I'll get to hear from you again.
James, keep up the good work. I love all the Bengal coverage, my friend.
Yep, absolutely. I appreciate you, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
Good stuff there from Tom in Milford. And we're just getting started. I'm going to get to your calls if you're on hold right now at 513-749-7000. 1-800-THE-BIG-1, #700 on AT&T. Let's take one more. Let's go to before we get to the news. That's all. Because I can't butcher the clock too much while I fill in for Lance. But if you're on hold, I will get to you. Cindy in Fairfield, you are next up on 700 WLW. How you doing, Cindy?
I really do think the Bengals can do it. You know, I mean, I've been watching them, and I hate to say this for everybody that doesn't know how long, but I've been watching them for 50 years.
Gotcha. No, I...
But I think they can do it, and I'm really impressed with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he is impressive, isn't he? He's
yes,
fun,
he is.
And he's fun to watch, and the thing about him, is with those interceptions, I don't think anyone's more critical of them than him. You know, like, I bet it's driving him crazy that he led the league in interceptions through the first 9 games.
And I'm impressed with him. I really am. You know, it kind of reminds me of the days of Virgil Carter, Kenny Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
But I am impressed with him. But he needs a good line to help him do it. You know, that's it. So anyway, that's
yeah.
the bottom. Okay.
Gotcha, Cindy. Appreciate the call. Have a good night. Yeah, look, this team is the offensive line's not going to be a strength this season. You're never going to go into a game and say, man, the Bengals offensive line is going to kick that defensive line's tail. That's not going to happen. But what could happen, as you look at it and you're not making a face every time you talk about the Bengals offensive line, which seems to happen every time I have a conversation with anybody about the Bengals ever. Because, let's be honest, it's been such a weak point. And I think it's getting better. I like the 2 tackles. Riley Reiff's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I would try to keep him. Quentin Spain's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I would try to keep him. But it's never going to be a strength, at least not this season. So knowing that, that's why I think it puts literally and figuratively more pressure on Burrow to perform at a high level. And I think he can do it. I think he's ready for it. And it's going to be really interesting to see how he handles the next 8 weeks, how the coaching staff handles the next 8 weeks. And we're going to continue with your calls on the Bengals. What are your expectations for the second half of the season? 513-749-7000. 1-800-THE-BIG-1, #700 on AT&T. Halfway down, we're with you till 8 o'clock. James Erpine and for Lance McAllister right here at Sports Talk on 700 WLW. Nice. 7:36, News Radio 700 WLW. This is Sports Talk. James Erpine in for the voice you just heard, Lance McAllister, with you till 8 o'clock. Then it's the Wes Miller Show, which you can hear right here. It's not? Luke Fickell Show, sorry. I had basketball on my brain. But, yeah, we will dive into the Bearcats maybe in a minute, because they're still not in the top 4. Still not in the top 4. Luke Fickell doesn't care, but, you know. I think everybody else does, including yours truly. Either way, James Erpine in for Lance McAllister. We'll continue with the Bengals here for a few minutes on Sports Talk. And look, to me, I think it's fair to expect this Bengals team to finish with a winning record. I think it's okay to acknowledge that following their 5-2 start. I know the past, 3 weeks now, because you got the Jets loss, you got the Browns loss, and then obviously the bye. They've been underwhelming, right? You have back-to-back losses after that Baltimore win, and I was in Baltimore. You're thinking, you're doing the math, you're like, they have a chance to be 7-2 at the bye, certainly 6-3, and you look up and they're 5-4. So that part is a little underwhelming. But you know what would be really underwhelming after a 5-2 start? Finishing 7-10 or 8-9. And I don't think either one of those is going to be able to, you know, you're not going to be in playoff contention when you head up to Cleveland to wrap up the season in week 18 if you're, you know, 7-9 going into that final game. Even if you're 8-8 going into that final game, I think you're going to basically be eliminated or need 52 things to go your way. 10 wins to me is the, if you get there, you get to double digits, you're going to be in the playoffs. 9, I think you're flirting with it, but you're risking losing tiebreakers or maybe multiple teams get the 10 in the wild card. I don't think 9's going to win the division, certainly. But I think it's a fair expectation. And that's where I want to ask you, because, you know, we're on 700 WLW for another 20 minutes or so. What are your expectations for this team over the next 8 games? Because to me, if they go 4-4, I'm not going to crush them. I think 9-8 is pretty damn good in hindsight. You know, when you take it all into consideration and you look at all of the context that goes into things and goes into this season, will it feel a little underwhelming after the 5-2 start? Maybe, but I think 9-8 to me is the minimum. Where if they go 4-4 down the stretch, they have a winning record for the first time since 2015, and they don't get to the playoffs. I don't think you're going to make a face like, yeah, what an awful ending. I think it'll be like, oh, well, that was a pretty successful year. They might not have made the playoffs, but they had a winning record and they were competitive throughout. But anything below that, 8-9, underwhelming. 7-10, certainly. I don't even want to say 6-11. And so what is it for you? Where's the bar for you, Bengals-wise, with 8 games to go? They're 5-4. You could chime in at 513-749-7000, 1-800-THE-BIG-1, #700 on AT&T. Do you think this team needs to finish with a winning record? Or do you think they're ahead of schedule and that you were expecting 7 wins? Because I'll say this, going into the year, I had them at 7-10. But when you start 5-2, expectations change. And I think fairly. I think they're better in certain areas. I think Burrow has developed or recovered, however you want to describe it, faster than I thought he might. His deep ball is better than I thought it would be coming off of that knee injury. Ja'Marr Chase is even better than I thought he would be. Right? They have the skill players to have an explosive offense. And so that's where I'm at with this team. I think this team is 9 wins, 10 wins. They're going to flirt with that. And anything less than that is underwhelming. And anything less than that is going to be a disappointment, given how they started, which I wouldn't have said 2 months ago. But I think they're good enough. I think the quarterback's good enough. I think the coaching staff is good enough to get them in that range, which was certainly a question mark going into the year. Because the one thing I don't question, and there are certainly things to ask question marks about this coaching staff, but when it comes to Zach Taylor, head coach Zach Taylor, offensive coordinator Brian Callahan, quarterback's coach Dan Pitcher, I think those guys have done a really, really good job with Burrow from a, we're going to throw everything at you because we think you're that damn good and we know some of it's going to maybe not overwhelm you, but some of it's going to throw you for a loop and you're going to have your struggles and we're going to just let you go. We're going to throw you in the pool and make you swim. Because by year 3, year 4, year 5, you're going to be so far ahead of these other quarterbacks. And I just look up to that guy in Cleveland, Baker Mayfield. He's been spoon-fed the offense his entire career, it seems like. They still don't want him throwing over 20 times a game. It's like 21 attempts last week, and I know he got injured at the end of the third quarter, but it's like, you're down. You're down by a lot. You got to throw the ball. You got to push the ball down the field. It's just not happening. This coaching staff has done a good job with Joe Burrow. And the second half of the season, I think, is going to be dependent on how well this offense plays, how far Joe Burrow can take them? Is he going to be the quarterback that everyone expects him to be, that he expects to be right now? Where he, you know, maybe the defense gets lit up on Sunday on the road against Vegas, which could happen, right? The defense could give up 30, 35 against Derek Carr in that Raiders offense. And so if that happens, is Joe going to have the counterattack? Is Burrow going to have enough? And I think the answer is yes. I think he's ready for that. You can tweet me as well, at James Erpine, or chime in, 513-749-7000, 1-800-THE-BIG-1-POUND-700 on AT&T. Khalil on Twitter says, less interceptions for Burrow, and he needs to slide more. And look, I get the sliding comments, especially after the Green Bay hit, where, man, it was just flashbacks to last year, which the anniversary of that's coming up, so whatever. But it was flashbacks to last year. And so I did not want to, I don't think anybody that was in that stadium for that hit wanted to acknowledge it and didn't want to process what potentially could have happened. And obviously he was okay, popped up, didn't miss any plays, they punted, and he was good to go. But yeah, sliding more is one thing. The interceptions to me are when I give when I put down my list of concerns for this team. One of the least of my, really low on the list. Offensive line's higher. Defense is higher. I just think some of them have been unlucky. Sometimes he's forced the ball a little bit or threw the ball off target, which I get. I understand that. But interceptions are going to happen when you have a quarterback that's trying to make plays. And you know what I want Joe Burrow to do? I want him to make plays in the second half. And I think some of those unlucky ones, like if that Jets one doesn't happen, right? And that was really just a good play. Like Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, they were both like, yeah, the quarterback can't do anything different there. It's just a really good play by the defensive lineman. I think Zach Taylor said that happens one in every 150 attempts like that. Well, I don't think that's a Burrow problem. So I don't want him to necessarily pull the reins back a bunch in the second half. I still want him to try to make plays downfield and push the ball downfield and try to get the ball to Chase. I do. What say you? 513-749-7000, 1-800, the big one. James Erpine in for Lance on Sports Talk. Let's go to Norwood. Greg, you are next up on 700 WLW. What's up, Greg?
Yeah, James. You know, everybody's worried about protecting Burrows. How about our line learn how to run block?
Look, that's part of it, especially with the weather changing, Greg. They're going to need to run the ball more.
Our run blocking's terrible. I mean, they're getting hit before they get to the line.
Well, the thing is, and Greg, could you turn the radio down? But the thing that that stands out, I appreciate you doing that, is the interior. You know, Trey Hopkins, he talked today, and admittedly, he's not playing as well as he wants to, and he's still coming off of that torn ACL. It's a bad situation, right? It's just not ideal because he's a really good dude who works extremely hard and is a good player. Usually, he's just not fully healthy right now. And then you've had a revolving door at right guard. And so when you have all these short yardage, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, goal line situations, and you're trying to run the ball or quarterback sneak it, they've had some failed quarterback sneaks. It's like, what the heck is going on? Well, you need the interior to win. And they aren't, in my opinion, they aren't winning as much as you'd want them to in those situations.
Well, they ain't even leaving them a crack, you know? I mean, to where they can actually maybe see a linebacker. I mean, there's no holes. If there ain't no holes, you can't run.
Yeah, it's tough. And it makes that so when that happens, it makes it tough on Zach Taylor as a play caller, makes it tougher on Joe Burrow, makes it harder on the receivers, makes it easier on the defense. It's a whole thing, right? And we saw it, in week 10 against the Browns, or week 9, rather, against the Browns. They get to that lead, and they have that running game. And that's it. I mean, they can just lean on the running game, and Baker Mayfield can just kind of coast, and Burrow doesn't have that luxury.
Well, I think Mixon and Evans, I think they're good running backs. They just, when you get snagged before you get to the line of scrimmage, there's not a lot you can do.
Yep. No, Greg, I appreciate the call. Thanks for chiming in. Have a good night. Yeah, I agree. And by the way, Chris Evans. No, I'm not talking about Captain America. I'm talking about the Bengals rookie running back. Number 25, I think he's in line for a big second half of the season. I think Chris Evans is going to have a big second half of the year. I think he's going to be involved in a bunch of different ways. Because to me, you look at him, and I'm not saying it's going to be this year, but I think he has the receiving ability out of the backfield of a Kareem Hunt, where he's just got great hands. He's a great route runner. And you know, the Bengals obviously already have Joe Mixon. So if you can use that tandem like that, man, what a luxury, what an awesome 1-2 punch that could be moving forward. So, yeah, a lot of these check downs and things like that, I would expect them to go to Chris Evans in the second half. We'll see. But certainly he could be a big part of the Bengals' offense. All right, last call for phone calls with you till 8 o'clock, 513-749-7000, 1-800, the big one. You can tweet me at James Rapine. We're going to spend a few more minutes on the Bengals, dive into the Bearcats, and you're going to hear one national analyst that is bullish on the Bearcats being in the top four. We will, you'll hear from him, and we will put a bow on the show with your calls and tweets next. James Rapine in for Lance. It's Sports Talk on 700 WLW.
Natty.
Just a few minutes left here on 700 WLW, and then it's the Luke Fickell Show. Undefeated Bearcats looking to roll SMU and continue in their pursuit of making the college football playoff. You're going to hear, actually, let's do it now. What the heck? Let's do it now. We can talk a little Bearcats real quick. And Alex, we good? You got it? Yeah, I get the thumbs up from Alex. So, look, James Rapine in for Lance McAllister. This is Sports Talk. And we spent a lot of this hour talking Bengals. But obviously the Bearcats, their playoff chances, and Lance did this a few weeks ago. Who has the better playoff? You know, who would you bank on to make the playoffs? I would say the Bearcats. I would say the Bearcats. And I don't think I'm alone in that. In fact, Jason Fitz of ESPN was on ESPN 1530 earlier today with Mo Egger, and he had this to say about the Bearcats' playoff chances, how it could stack up with a two-loss Alabama if they lose to Georgia, and how everything could unfold for the Bearcats over the next few weeks.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I do think there are losses still to happen. I mean, frankly, I love the fact that we keep saying, you know, well, if Alabama wins the SEC championship, or if they lose a really close SEC championship game to Georgia, like, Alabama has not looked anywhere near as good as Georgia this year. I think they stand a real chance of getting beat by, you know, at least a touchdown in that game, which should put them at two losses out of this conversation, I would think. We'll see. I think Gary Barta left a little of that door open in his answers last night. But, you know, that's one portion of it. I'm not sure I trust Oregon versus Utah coming up this weekend. And so, you know, and then the fact that the committee ranked Houston, even if it's 24, that at least gives you another opportunity for the win that you're going to need, you know, to be able to hang your hat on. So I think the committee has left just enough in front of them, also realizing that, you know, there's always a chance of Big Ten chaos.
Big Ten chaos at the end there. Again, that's from Mo Egger's show earlier today. Jason Fitz, you can check it out at 700WLW.com. Look, this it's crazy to me, and I get in debates with my buddy. He's a big Ohio State fan, and he's like, every year this happens, it's not going to happen, even if they go undefeated. And I'm like, dude, did you forget what they did to Notre Dame? Go back and watch that game. Notre Dame is eighth right now, right, Frank? Eighth, yeah, Alex, I had to confirm the eighth. Oh, okay. So they dismantle the eighth best team, according to the college football playoff, on the road. And that's what it was. Like, if you really watch, it was not that close. It was never really in doubt to me. And it could have been much, much worse for the Fighting Irish. They do that. If they end up running the table, I don't care if they only beat Tulsa by 8, or I don't care if Tulane, oh my gosh, they only won by 19, or they ran the table and they beat a top 10 program or top 8 school, assuming Notre Dame continues to win. And that's what you want to see, right? You want Notre Dame to win, you want to handle business against SMU, and then hopefully Houston in the conference championship game. And if they do that, all this other stuff doesn't matter. Like the style points. And I really don't like, that's the thing. If the Bearcats are going to get in, is the committee going to keep them out because they won by 8 instead of 80? Or is it just the bias and everything that goes into it, you know, from a, you know, power 5 versus non-power 5? Because I think that's the mindset if I'm this Bearcats team that you have to have. Like, as long as we handle business, the resume is going to be there because we're going to be undefeated. We're going to have a win over hopefully a top eight, maybe they move up even more, team in Notre Dame. And how many teams are going to end up with wins like that? A couple, and those teams will end up in the playoff. Like Ohio State, if they win out and they beat Michigan, guess what? They're going to be in. We know that. Georgia wins out. Well, obviously, they're going to be in. And you want them to win out, by the way, if you're the Bearcats. But no, I feel like if they handle business, they're going to get in. We'll see. But I think it's that simple. Win. Just win. Which is funny since the just win, baby. Because, you know, the Bengals play the Raiders and I'm using the old Al Davis line. But speaking of that, and we just got about a minute left. I was reading a mock draft today on ESPN. And it's super, you know, down the line. The draft is in April. But this is a Bearcats related thing. Two things. One, Desmond Ridder wasn't in the first round. But the thing that stands out to me more, because quarterbacks are going to go, if he tests well and interviews well and throws the ball well at the pro day and stuff, he's going to be a first rounder because he's got the talent, the numbers, and the wins and everything like that. So I'm not worried about that. But the fact that Ahmad Sauce Gardner sticks in Cincinnati, he stays in Cincinnati, he's the 16th pick to the Bengals, that would be cool. And I think he's legit. And I think that's going to be fun. When you talk about like draft stock and notoriety and all that, if the Bearcats get into the playoff and you get to watch Gardner and Kobe Bryant and those cornerbacks go up against, who knows, maybe they're going up against Chris Olave in those Ohio State Buckeye wide receivers. That's the part that would be fun. Or they go up against Georgia in a team like that. And so that's the part of it that I think would be really cool, not only for the program, but for some of these guys that are hoping to be first-round picks. Well, this was a lot of fun. This is a quick hour, but it's always fun filling in for Lance McAllister here on Sports Talk. And if you're unfamiliar with my work, I'm James Rapine. I cover the Bengals for allbengals.com, and we just launched a Bearcats site, allbearcats.com. So check both of those out. They're both under the Sports Illustrated umbrella, powered by Sports Illustrated and SI.com. So that's going to do it for me, for Alex Frank, who killed it. Even though he didn't bring me food, he brought dinner for himself behind the glass, didn't bring me anything. I'll forgive him. This has been a fun hour. The Luke Fickell Show is next, right here on 700 WLW.